Welcome to the Far From Shore podcast, where it's all about the Kraken and the community they play in.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Far From Shore podcast. I am your host, Kimberly.
And I'm your host, Brayson.
All right, what are we getting into today?
Well, it's official, guys. The Far From Shore podcast is moving back to Seattle. Woohoo! Yeah, the podcast, we made the choice to move back to Seattle a couple weeks ago. It's not just because we want to be in Seattle for the podcast. Kimberly is obviously from the area. Not Seattle, but Bremerton. So for all you guys who know, it's an hour ferry ride west.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah. So we're officially moving back at the end of May, I believe. And so, you know, the decision is based off of just being closer to Kimberly's, Kimberly's family, as well as our also home state of Hawaii. So
yeah, it's a shorter plane ride. It's only, I don't know, like what? 8 hours?
Not even 8 hours.
It's like less than compared to flying from Colorado. You have to like catch a connection. And then, I mean, there is one ways, but it's like a 8 hour, 9 hour plane ride.
From Colorado.
From Colorado.
And it's like 5 hours from Washington to Hawaii.
Depending on the winds.
Yeah. If we have a good tailwind, it's like 4.5. No, it's like 5 hours.
Yeah.
It's like 5 hours with tailwind.
But it's much cheaper as well to fly from Washington to Hawaii than it is to from Colorado to Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. So we had a great run here. We've lived here since 2019. Yeah, 2019. We moved here actually on our anniversary.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think it just was how it fell.
So we initially moved to Colorado because Kimberly got accepted to the Regis University here for microbiology and genetics?
Molecular biology and genetics.
Oh, molecular biology and genetics.
Bigger. It's bigger cells. Just a little.
Yeah, so 5 years?
Yeah, it's like four. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yeah, it will be 5 years.
When we move, it would be 5 years and some change.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll no longer recording here in Colorado in the next coming week until we'll let you know when we record our
first Washington episode. That'll be cool.
So we lived in Colorado a lot longer than we lived in West Seattle. For all you guys who don't know, Kimberly and I did live in Seattle when we first moved in together at the end of, in the beginning of end of 2016. Correct? September. It was around your dad's birthday.
Yeah, that sounds right. I was trying to do the math.
Yeah, we lived there for 2 years. Yeah, so we were still working at Starbucks at the time. And we ended up making a bunch of just life decisions, or life got in the way, and then we had to move out.
Well, I mean, yeah, we got married, and then, yeah, like you said, we decided to leave the state for a bit and then went down to Hawaii for a couple of months. And then that's when we decided Colorado, which was different and new, or Washington. And we're like, you know what? Let's do something different and new, which has been, like you said, it's been a long run. It's been awesome. I still want to come back and see some things.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I would say this is definitely the longest that I've ever lived in a state consecutively. Growing up as a military brat, you know, I was always moving around. I don't think that it's necessarily the longest state that I've lived in, like, joint. I would say that Hawaii still probably tops. And then with Colorado probably is the second, and ironically Washington as the bottom of the three.
Yeah.
But I've also lived in other places too.
Yeah. So we're not new to the area.
Definitely not.
Well, not but we're also not super familiar with the area. So we're absolutely excited to be in the area when we move and start broadcasting some stories for you guys, and hopefully be on, you know, on site for a lot of the games as well as like practices and seeing what's up, like getting like the firsthand scoop of what's going on.
We'll be definitely living probably a little bit north of Seattle, like just outside of Seattle, but you have a guaranteed job right now. You'll definitely be working in Seattle. I'm looking for jobs in Seattle. So we'll be in Seattle, obviously. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can find some tickets. I don't even care if I have to sit in the nosebleeds.
I actually really like the nosebleeds.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
It's a little steep, but then you get to kind of see the whole play go on.
Yeah, and then you still have your prompts, your like teleprompt.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the people up there who are also in the nosebleeds are pretty humble people because they also don't have, you know, the funds.
I think last time that we went, or when we did go, I think it was Wazoo night, which if you're listening and you're not a Washingtonian, you don't know what the heck Wazoo even is. That is Washington State University, Land of the Cougars. It's out in eastern Washington. I almost said Spokane. Colorado. Sorry.
It's in Spokane, everyone.
It's in Spokane. It is one of the state
universities. No. Sorry. It's not Spokane. Pullman.
Yeah, it's in Pullman. Just on the border of Idaho.
Yeah.
They actually have a great veterinary program, not going to lie. And they have a medical school. Not just a party school, guys. But anyways,
Is a party school.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, thought it was funny because, like I said, it was Wazoo night, and it's college students. Come on, like, a $20 ticket is, like, a night for them.
$20 for what?
Like, a ticket.
Oh, it was for them, too? They also had cool hats.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was, like, Wazoo night, so I think, like, probably alumni were there. There was definitely alumni. There was, like, these two older guys that were probably, like, older than Dad that were up there, and they were in the very back, and they were, like, singing the Wazoo song.
Their alma mater song?
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either.
I didn't go to Wazoo, but I just thought it was so funny, and then in like the next row or two below these two older guys were the, I believe, either like fresh alumni or current students. And they started singing it with them. And it was just, it was really funny.
Yeah. It's funny. It was really cool though, you know, that the Seattle Kraken actually does that for the community.
Oh, totally.
They also have, you know, UW. I think they also, maybe Gonzaga night? No?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
There was a UW.
I mean, there's plenty of schools. I could list them all.
And you got accepted to a school there too, SPU.
Yeah, Seattle Pacific University.
Yeah.
It is a Presbyterian school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What the Regis University here, that was a Catholic school.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you just like religious schools for some reason.
I like private schools, but typically private schools are religious. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like small knit community schools, because put me in a class of 200 and I'm never going to show up. And then, and then a teacher's going to be like, who are you? And then at least if I have a class of only 20 and I don't show up, then a teacher's like, hey, was everything okay? Like, what do you need from class? And I'm like, cool, thanks.
That is the benefit of going to like a smaller private school, is that you actually get like one-on-ones a lot more easy.
Yeah. I actually still have I had three professors that I can really think of that I really like connected with.
Yeah. So if you are from Seattle, like downtown Seattle, you know that we're faking it till we make it, because we're not actually going to be living in downtown Seattle. It will be North Seattle, not quite like Northern Seattle, like towards Everett, but super close. If you guys know where like Mount Lake Terrace is, just west of that, it's kind of like where we're deciding to go. So
we'll see though. We'll see.
From West Seattle to North Seattle's where we're at right now.
Yeah, West Seattle was just pricey.
It's just pricey. Yeah, just living in Seattle.
Ugh, I know.
It's like one bedroom apartment is almost $3,000. like a really nice one.
And in downtown, yeah. That was crazy, but whew.
Like super outdated, in really this economy? Small. Yeah, like 500 square feet.
Yeah, but I mean, even for whatever reason, when we lived in Seattle the first time, West Seattle was cheaper or more affordable to us. I don't know.
It was just getting to the point where the prices were changing. And that was one of the factors why we kind of moved out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So, really exciting news, everyone, that we'll be getting to see everyone's faces. So, if you're listening, hopefully we get to see you. And I can't wait. But speaking about moving to Seattle, when the Seattle Krakens moved to Seattle, they not only built a new stadium, but they built a new headquarters. The headquarters is now called the Iceplex. Yeah, and the Iceplex is like...
in Northgate.
Northgate. So Northgate Station or Northgate Mall, whatever you guys want to call it, is where the headquarters is. So all the suit and tie people go up there. Our offices are up there, as well as the Seattle Krakens play or have practices and stuff like that. So... let's see here.
Can you like go to this Iceplex as a a non-hockey person and just be like, I want to go ice skating today. Can you go for like a day?
Yeah, you can. It has like a bunch of like a lot of activities. So, So the Iceplex has some pretty cool features. They have 3 NHL size hockey rinks. One of which is called the Starbucks Rink.
Ooh.
And the Starbucks Rink is where they hold the Kraken practices. And what's pretty cool about that is there's some... I don't know if all the practices are like this, but there's a good amount of practices where they're open and fans could go in and go watch them play, which I really want to do.
Heck yeah.
But it's only limited to like 600 people.
Must be a big...
It's huge.
Center. Yeah.
It's huge.
Sounds big.
And I can't wait to go see it because it sounds like a good time.
Ironically, Mom and Dad just recently went to look at an apartment for us that was across the street from the Iceplex. And I remember Dad saying, oh, yeah, I remember seeing the Iceplex right across the street. So.
Yeah. And I really wanted to move there.
Yeah. But it wasn't a good fit. Anyways.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a pretty big space from what I hear, and I can't wait to see it. The Kraken also have, not the Kraken, the Iceplex also has the 32 Bar and Grill, ooh, a merchandise store, WaFed Bank, shout out WaFed Bank, and Virginia Mason Francesca Medical Pavilion, as well as another Starbucks store. It's a Starbucks community store. I don't know what that means, but I guess it's just another cafe to just sling coffee to the people that want to watch games, which is awesome.
I wonder if it's corporate or licensed.
Probably corporate. You think corporate. So? Oh, 100%. Mm. Because, you know.
That'd be dope.
Because Seattle or Starbucks is a somewhat of a partner, not sponsor. Because I know I said a sponsor last time, but they're partners to create. They're the community side, whereas some of these things are like...
But aren't they also a sponsor?
I don't know.
I think they're partners in that goal, but then I wonder if they're also sponsor, like they're some sort of like a financial sponsor as well.
Probably. I mean, Starbucks makes so much money. And they're the biggest chain.
Coffee chain, specifically.
Coffee chain in the world. So I don't understand why they wouldn't. Like, well, yeah, they like make practice jerseys. So I'm sure that, yeah, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And like, and they're from Seattle. So it just makes sense.
Yeah. So they have all these things, including WaFed Bank ATMs. Shout out WaFed Bank again. but let's get into one of the cooler things about the Iceplex is that they have a bar and grill called the 32 Bar and Grill. 32 meaning that Seattle is the 32nd NHL team, which is pretty cool. I mean, they could have named it something a little bit cooler, but 32.
Yeah, you know.
32 it's, works.
Has a meaning behind it.
Yeah, so I haven't been there, so I'm just speaking off what the website says. The facility has 19 TVs to watch the Kraken's games.
Wow.
And when the Kraken aren't playing, they have all the other Seattle sports teams. So
oh, cool.
The Seahawks, Sounders, Storm, Coachella Firebirds.
Oh, Mariners.
The Mariners. And then there's...
I mean, Coachella's not technically in...
And if you don't like big hockey, they have the Seattle Fire... Not the Seattle Firebirds, the Seattle Thunderbirds.
Are they in AHL?
AHL. Do you remember
Coachella?
Coachella is AHL, I believe, but they're not our pipeline.
That's...
Which is weird.
Weird.
I don't know. I don't understand. That is a great, like...
Or is there a distinction?
There is no distinction.
That's weird.
They're both AHL.
I should look more into that, because now I'm curious. Yeah, sorry. You were going to ask me a question, though?
No.
Oh, sorry. Making stuff up over here.
Yeah. So... so the Iceplex also, the 32 Bar and Grill also has these events called the Pucks and Pancakes, where they have wherever, if there's an East Coast game, so morning games.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this. Go on.
Yeah. So you get to go in, and watch the morning game, because obviously it's not at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, well, it could be at home.
They do those on like holidays.
Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to have breakfast and watch the hockey game and have John Forslin do commentary.
Is he like live. There?
Yeah, he's there. He's what? There, yeah. It's a buffet too. It's a buffet of, you know.
Is it a reservation or first come, first serve?
I think it might be first come, first serve.
Let's definitely make sure that that's like top of our list, because we will be moving in between the season.
Yeah.
So... this coming season, let's keep an eye out, because that sounds...
I'm definitely going to get familiar with it. I'm going to get familiar with every little nook and cranny from that place. So, so they have a breakfast buffet, and then they have a Bloody Mary.
I don't like Bloody Marys.
Like, little bar that you could mix up. I've never actually had a Bloody Mary.
I don't think I have either, but I'm not a vodka drinker, so unless it's a gin Bloody Mary, then maybe, but...
Yeah.
Anyways, that does sound cool, though.
It's pretty cool. So, like, back to your point, the Seattle, or the Iceplex, I keep, like, messing up the name. The Iceplex not only holds, you know, practices for the Kraken, but it also has youth hockey programs... adult league, so if you're in like some sort of beer league team, you could reserve your team spot and go play games, figure skating, and public skating. So
cool.
That's definitely a place where I'm gonna learn how to skate. I'm gonna get a, you know, a nice pair of skates and then just learn how to skate.
I mean, you can rent skates though.
Yeah, you could rent skates, but I don't know. I have pretty wide feet, so I gotta get custom skates. Kind of deal.
Eh.
Yeah, whatever.
But, I mean, when is the last time you went skating?
High school. No, middle school. Like 15 years ago. More than 15 years ago.
Honestly, though, I would say that you skated more recently than I went skating. Because I probably went skating probably around like elementary school. Okay. Well, I think last time I probably went skating was at Ice Palace.
Yeah, and that's also the place where I last skated was the Ice Palace.
Which we talked about is in Hawaii.
Yeah, so the Ice Palace is the only skating rink in Hawaii. And yes, I'm pretty sure out of all of the islands, all seven islands.
Probably.
And it's a pretty cool spot. I mean, they don't have they only have one rink. You reserve like birthday parties. There's a little arcade there. But
it's got a lot of public skating.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's actually only public skating. Maybe there's some like hockey in there.
Oh, I was going to say there's figure skating lessons.
Oh, okay.
And like figure skating performances.
Yeah, you're probably right, because whenever I went, it was just public skate.
Yeah, I knew somebody that they had a daughter that was in the Ice Palace figure skating group. Anyways.
Yeah, so the Iceplex also, you know, has a bunch of other stuff that I don't really know, but I can't
wait. More opportunities for us to go check out.
Yeah.
And all of our Seattleites to go check out.
Exactly. But something, that's a good segue actually into moving as well. I know it's not about the Seattle Kraken and it's not about Washington in general, but the Arizona Coyotes are moving.
Oh, yeah.
The Arizona Coyotes. The Arizona Coyotes. The Coyotes are moving to Salt Lake City, Utah. Mm-hmm. Utah is getting their first NHL team. And in an unfortunate circumstance, because in kind of a macro scheme of things, the owner of the team just didn't put in the effort to hold on to this team.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about Arizona Coyotes, and I don't know anything about the situation. But I do know that there was an issue with construction.
Yeah,
correct. Land, all of the finance and business that goes along with creating a new arena. Because for people that may not know, the ASU Sun Devils, which is a university, shared a hockey rink with the Arizona Coyotes, which is an NHL team. And I don't mean to be rude or anything, but that's a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
So yeah. They just didn't have the fun. Well, I would assume somebody had the funds, but
they obviously had the funds.
But there was just not enough, like, handshaking and, what is it, dog and pony shows going on for a rink to be made. So there was just, they decided to just change.
Yeah. And if there, by chance, there's an Arizona Coyotes fan listening, you may be able to speak more on this, but, you know, sources say that, what?
Put that in the comments if you have any opinions.
Yeah, basically, what the talk around the town is that the managers and stuff like that, GMs, told the players to start looking at houses starting last week, I think. Last week or 2 weeks ago to move. And that's kind of something I actually want to talk about off topic. I think that's why the Arizona Coyotes were not doing so well this season, because they were just extremely distracted by just like what was going on with their team.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. As a player, your responsibility is to be on the ice. It's not necessarily to be. And I don't know. Maybe I know something. Maybe I don't know something that they are involved in. But I feel like the players don't necessarily need to have their hand in the cookie jar as far as like that logistics goes. That's the general manager's responsibilities.
The general manager isn't responsible for every team's family, like, okay, move. It's not military. No. So it's like they're kind of up in the air, like, okay, now.
So you're thinking that the players themselves were stressed about the potential of moving?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, all of these players could get like switched on a dime. Like, we were literally rewatching the Krakens versus Winnipeg Jets, and then Eddie Olczyk was saying that literally his wife
had this really cool story
about he's such a dad. He's like told the story like three times, but
he's even commentating on the game. Just wanted to finish the story, and to be honest,
we love Eddie. And then it's so funny because JT Brown is always like, oh, I love this story. Go ahead and tell it again.
One of my favorite stories.
Anyways, but he was a player for quite a long time, and he did switch around. And he was saying that literally at the birth of one of his children, he got traded to the Winnipeg Jets. And so what I'm saying is that these players on the drop of a dime can get traded. And yes, they may have families, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, their contracts and their futures are dependent on their present play. Does that make sense? So they can't act and play stressed out, because if they act and play stressed out, that's going to affect their future too.
Yeah.
So they need to compartmentalize.
I guess that's a good like devil's advocate for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But I see your point too. So. Yeah.
So it's kind of unfortunate for the Arizona Coyotes. They do have some sort of deadline that the NHL imposed on the owner. What's his name? Something Murillo. Sorry, trigger warning for any Arizona person when I say his name, but he has a deadline within the next 5 years or so to continue this kind of like rigmarole kind of deal where you need to find a place. Otherwise, we're going to take away everything from you. So he's allowed.
So no more Arizona opportunity.
Yeah.
In that moment, I suppose.
Possibly. Yeah. But I'm hopefully another billionaire could step in. Another Arizona billionaire could kind of hop in and be like, hey,
there's so many people that retire there. So how could they not?
Exactly. Right. I mean, maybe not billionaires, but multi-millionaires,
a couple of multi-millionaires, at least
they could do what the Seattle Kraken does and have like a ownership group, which I will talk about in a different episode. But the Seattle Kraken, I looked it up, and just to make sure that, you know, I want to see who is running the show. The Seattle Kraken have a kind of a partnership. So there's multiple people owning this place and running the show rather than just one sole person, as well as Marshawn Lynch and and Macklemore.
I love both of them.
Yeah.
They're both great. I was actually going to say that, like, I wonder if an Arizona Cardinals player could potentially be an owner. Like,
or an NFL team, yeah. Oh, yeah. Arizona Cardinals is an NFL team.
And then I think there's also like baseball. I mean, I don't think.
The Diamondbacks?
Yeah. I don't think that baseball players are as wealthy as NFL players by any means. I don't know, but I don't think so.
I think they are.
I don't
think so. It's comparable.
I don't think so.
Well, NFL players are absurdly overpaid.
NFL, definitely, definitely. Sorry, we do like NFL, but we like NHL better. Anyways.
Well, we like the Seattle Seahawks.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's it.
But no, I'm just saying that like they have a couple potential suitors, I suppose, to fund them, but anyways, I do think it was interesting, yeah, because it's like, yes, like you said, wow, this isn't a Arizona podcast. We still are talking about hockey and this kind of effects. And then you weren't also talking about, hopefully this leans into another part, but we were talking about, so they would be potentially, or they are moving to Utah, which for us in Colorado right now, it's closer to Colorado, but so they would move to Utah and then potentially have the option to gain a new team within the next 5 years back in Arizona.
If Arizona makes another team,
if they make the no cut. But then that, like you were talking, you and I were talking offline and saying that then that means that they would be uneven and they need an additional team. So we were talking about who we think would be good.
What state would have like the best hockey, or what would suit another team? And I was watching the Winnipeg game and they were talking about Georgia possibly happening again. Apparently it happened like 3 times and they want to try to do it again.
Oh, that's what I was telling you. I knew that Georgia was like, they keep talking about Georgia and Atlanta for some reason.
I don't know. I think they should do another Canadian team.
We talked about that.
Yeah, which is what we talked about. And what was it, Saskatchewan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about maybe either Saskatchewan something, or, and their capital is Regina, because we did that a little bit of side research.
Or like a Nova Scotian team.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting too.
Which is where, not Peter. Where did I get Peter from?
Nate McKinnon.
Nathan McKinnon.
90% positive.
Yeah. So if Nathan McKinnon can come out of Nova Scotia, there could be an NHL team in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think my top three for states that would be good contenders for an addition, if Arizona does make their deadline, would be Alaska, one of the Dakotas, or... what did I say?
What did you say? I don't think we came up with a third, did we?
I don't know. I definitely think Alaska is my top one. One of the Dakotas, either north or south, or...
Montana.
Montana?
Maybe.
Maybe. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
They get pretty cold up there.
I keep trying to think, like, maybe Idaho, but that's way too close. Massachusetts already has one.
They do?
The Boston Bruins.
Oh, yeah.
Boston, Massachusetts.
I'm sorry, guys.
We don't know anything about the East Coast teams, okay?
I have, like, never been to the Northeast, so sometimes it takes me a second to think about New England geography.
The only reason why I would want to go to the Northeast is to go to the New York. What was that? So, if for any of you watching or listening, we just recently watched Sleepless in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great movie.
Oh, the Empire State Building.
Empire State Building. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
cool.
Really it. On Valentine's Day. Yeah. So, yeah. Sorry to hear about the Arizona Coyotes. Hopefully they change up.
Yeah, that'll be interesting next season.
And all that stuff. So, what we're going to do here is get into the game. All right, guys. So, I actually missed the last three games. And unfortunately, just due to being at work.
Mm-hmm.
But Kimberly watched all the games. Who did we play against?
So, most recently, we played against the Winnipeg Jets. And then before that, we played against the Dallas Stars. I'm blanking on who we played. Let me just check. I'm checking my Kraken app. If you guys don't have the Kraken app, check that out.
Yeah, so the Kraken app is, like, you know, solely just for the Krakens. And it gives us, like, one of the cool features about it is that you could actually look at the player profiles.
Oh, let me go back. Yeah, and it gives you the schedule and...
A whole and bunch of
if
other
you listen,
stuff.
If you can't listen or can't watch the game, you can listen to the radio.
Like, a lot of people have complaints about the Kraken app, but, like, give them a break. It's a new app.
It's brand new.
And honestly, it works like 90% of the time.
So the last couple of games, so the most recent on April 16th with this Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg. The before that was St. Louis Blues. Yeah, St. Louis Blues, Missouri.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Sorry. And then Dallas, Texas. So those were the last three games. They were all road games because, as we know, we had a home game that we lost. That was very sad.
Yeah, we lost our last home game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we lost all those games, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Unfortunate.
So I can kind of go... quickly. So April 13th, we lost 1-3 against Dallas, Texas, which was not unexpected because Dallas Stars have been doing extremely well this season. The next game, which was the next day, April 14th, we lost against St. Louis 1-4, which, I don't know, last season St. Louis Blues weren't doing great. So now this season, I don't know if they've got better or what, but they beat us 1-4.
Well, the St. Louis Blues within the last five years has won the cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, Vince Dunn is from St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, that's where he won his cup. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, by the way, Vince Dunn is out for the rest of the season. hopefully he can have a nice recovery for the rest of the summer. Yeah, it's fair. I think that because we know that we're no longer going on into the playoffs, that this is a good choice for him to take the recovery that he needs and just heal up, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure Larson's kind of like,
he misses his jealous. Man. He misses his man.
Yeah. Not only that, but I think Larson was like, he's kind of jealous. He's like, I just got a kid. And this guy's out because he has an injury and I don't have sleep.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, I mean, Larson is the one. He just broke his streak, but he did. He had like one of the longest running streaks of like he has played every game from like his entrance until the birth of his daughter.
But it's also good that Vince Dunn is out too because we get Ryker Evans. And Ryker Evans is so good. One of my favorite defensemen so far. Yeah.
They were talking about him in the Winnipeg Jets game or before and after. Like Piper was talking to Hal, a couple of people. So Halstock, I think Gord, a couple of people. But she was just asking them about like, oh, how do you think that he's progressed? How do you think that he's, you know, grown? And, you know, Halstock definitely said that.
Hackstall?
Hackstall.
It's like, I'm pretty sure I heard Hackstall, but I don't know. We're talking about Dave Hackstall, right?
Yes.
What did you say?
Halstock. I got like, the words yeah. got dyslexic or something.
Okay. What did Hackstall say?
Hackstall, not Halstock. Everyone's like, Kimberly, what the heck? I'm sorry.
I swear she's a Kraken's fan.
I'm a bigger Kraken's fan than he is, guys. Anyways, he was just saying that Ryker Evans has matured and has grown. Every time I see him, though, he looks so serious.
Not even serious. I think he just looks like he has just a blank face. And just whenever you watch him, just think about just some sort of AI robot. And that's what I imagine. He's just a robot. And he's so like, he does everything so well. And he barely makes mistakes. But when you watch him, it's just so like mechanical. Like there's, you know what I mean? But he looks like a small dude, guys. But he actually can hit. And I kind of love that. Huh? And so, yeah, I mean. Oh, sorry about that, guys. Kimberly offline said that she wanted to go use the bathroom and then drop my Celsius.
I'm sorry.
It was such a good flavor, too. It's a pineapple starfruit.
Anyways.
And it's basically gone.
And now it's gone.
So yeah, Vince Dunn is gone, out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Good decision. Even though he's probably healthy, we don't really need him right now. We want to keep him for a really long time.
Exactly. So overall in the game, I don't know. I was kind of like pleasantly surprised with the performance overall because
which game?
The Winnipeg Jets. So we're just going to recap overall, or we recap the last two games or before the Winnipeg Jets, and we're going to talk about the Winnipeg Jets overall. The Winnipeg Jets are pretty high standing in the, I don't know what division they are.
I think they're Central Division.
That sounds right, because they were talking about, in that game, they kept talking about Colorado, and Colorado is Central. So, yeah, that makes sense. Anyway, so they're pretty high standing. They're in the playoffs. They clinch a spot with the Central Division. And they also said that their goalie, his name is escaping me, but they did say that their goalie is the best goalie in the NHL this season.
And what reward? What award is he winning?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because they were talking about he's most definitely going to be winning this award.
Yeah. Yeah, some sort of goalie award, which, you know, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
So again, with that overall, with knowing that the Winnipeg Jets are a high-standing team, they've got a good goalie, we ended up ending 3-4. And we lost against, did we not lose against the San Jose Sharks a couple games ago?
We won those games.
Oh, but we were like really fighting.
We won against them this season once.
But we, yeah. Just like anytime that I see them playing against low performing teams, like, you know, like I said, the Anaheim Ducks, the San Jose Sharks.
And that's kind of like
the Blackhawks even.
They play to the standard of the team they're playing.
Yeah, which is interesting. It's like I want them to be consistent throughout their playing, regardless of who they're playing against. And it's just a little frustrating sometimes as a fan. So I would say that the first period was pretty decent. Tomas Tatar made a goal in that first period, which was a pretty smooth goal.
Mm-hmm.
We rewatched it, so Brayson saw the game, and he said, "Wow, that came out of nowhere." So it was a good goal.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I felt like, and then going into the second, I pulled this up somewhere.
Yeah, when we were watching the game, it was one. So the Winnipeg Jets scored first, and then Tomas mm-hmm. Tatar, Big Tuna, ended up scoring that really just quick release goal. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went into the second period, and the second period for us isn't really like a period that we like to strive for.
Which is interesting, though, that you say that, because this particular period in this particular game, we ended up making 2 goals.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
So,
and Gord had a really sweet deflecting goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, like, it was, like, to his side. He's a left-hander. He put his stick to the right side of his body, and then the puck deflected behind him. It was kind of like a back, behind-the-back goal.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was nice.
It was nice on the best NHL goalie. So, I mean,
yeah. So Yanni Gord assisted by Ryker Evans and Brandon Tanev.
Yeah, they had a pretty sweet combo there.
Mm-hmm. And then kind of close to the end, Ty Cartier was assisted by Yanni. And
my, if you can hear my can just rattling around, I just dropped it again. It's empty this time.
Sorry, guys. This is real life over here. we're real life Kraken fans.
Yeah.
So I would say that the second period wasn't too bad. And then going into the third,
we're going to the third 3-3.
Yeah, 3-3, guys. And I don't have an exact time point of when they made that fourth goal, but I do know that there were several moments that our offense was so close. There was even a point where the goalie was on his belly. And we couldn't even get it in. And I just was like, come on, guys. Their defense was just a little bit better than our offense. Which, again, at this point, unfortunately, we know that, again, Winnipeg Jets are one of the best in the Central. And we didn't even make it to the playoffs. So, technically, it makes sense. But I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. Because, like I was saying, like, the second quarter for us as Krakens, we don't really like to try until the third period. And it's kind of like, if you look at it from like a big picture standpoint, we're in the dying minutes of the third quarter, like season wise, we have one more game left and we like decide that we kind of want to try a little bit. I also noticed that in the game, we don't have our new players. So Ryan Winterton, Morrison, whatever his first name is. We brought back Belmar and we brought back Yamamoto, which I was so excited about. I mean, I don't know why they got rid of Yamamoto in the first place, because this is his first season with the Kraken. I know he's played, and he has NHL experience. He came from the Oilers, for you guys who don't know.
As did he played Belmar.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Belmar, but
Belmar's from the Oilers too.
Okay. Well, did he play with Kyler at the same time?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So Kyler, you know, played alongside with Connor McDavid. So, you know, Yamamoto is a good player, but when he came to the Krakens for us, it was a rough transition for him, obviously. He is a pretty good goal scorer. But I don't understand why they would get rid of his reps.
Maybe they just gave him a break and they're like, hey, we want to, you know, bench our fourth, because they're the fourth line, aren't they?
Yeah, during the middle of the season, they moved him up to the first line, second line. They changed him up so much.
That's right, yeah. But I mean, I think that just in general, maybe they just were like, okay, we're going to give you guys a break. We're going to bring in the new blood, and then just kind of switch things up a bit, because I don't know. I mean, I don't think that there was any reason that they would have benched them, like either poor performance or injury. Though neither of those were the situation. So I guess just from a coach perspective, they just were kind of switching things around, you know, which, you know, kind of, again, allows the fresh blood to get on the ice.
Yeah, exactly. And like just watching Winterton and Morrison, you could tell that they were really excited.
And Shane Wright.
And Shane Wright, yeah. We're definitely going to be signing Shane Wright next year. But with Winterton and Morrison in particular, they looked really good in their first and second game. And then, like, the other games after that, it kind of died down. So it's kind of looking like maybe there's potential in them or not, or potential for them, but possibly not, just due to the fact that we're trying to find, like, maybe somebody who's a little bit more consistent. We could find that. I don't know, what do you call it? Like, just potential.
Sure.
And they are our pipeline, but they aren't our only way of getting good players.
Yeah.
Because we can't keep recruiting, like, really, really young players. I, for one, don't want an entire team for next year to be just young guys.
Yeah. I mean, there are some NHL teams. I can't think of any particular one, but I remember you in another podcast previously were talking about how there was a team that was, the average age was like in the mid 20s.
Oh yeah,
do you remember that? What I'm talking about,
maybe Tennessee,
the Predators
maybe.
But yeah, so I think that,
but it's mid 20s. We don't, these guys are like 20,
early 20s
and stuff like that.
And I think that it gives a good energy to, but it does not give you leadership, and it does not give you kind of like knowledge.
Yeah.
On the
and
ice.
What I'm really afraid of is if you watch Trevor Zegras. So Trevor Zegras is an Anaheim player, Duck guy. And he's a really flashy player. And these new guys that are coming up, even like younger guys, like they want to, you know, be a superstar. They want to be like Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, blah, 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 blah. And they kind of play like they play individually instead of in like a system team, which is what Trevor Zegras kind of does. Like Trevor Zegras is not a system player. He just wants to do his own thing. The whole offense should revolve around him. And that's what I don't want to see with the Seattle Kraken.
I don't think personally that there are any players that do that right now, but I understand your concern. Is that not the player that started throwing gloves and then like their entire team started getting crazy, or is that a different?
That, no. So what Kimberly's talking about is Rempe. So he is a new guy on the New York Rangers, super tall guy. I think he's a defenseman. And then he was just hitting guys for no reason, like real, real bad. I mean, obviously, the New York Rangers are going to the playoffs. I think they're number one in points right now. It could have changed. I haven't really looked at the leaderboards yet. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm afraid of, is that the Seattle Kraken will get these younger guys. They're really excited. You know, they're amped up. They have good skill. They're, you know, somewhat good enough, almost not so good enough to enter the NHL. But they kind of, you know, have that Gen Z mindset where everything's about me. I want to do this on my own. And then the cohesiveness and then the team player dynamic just goes to shit. And that's kind of what I'm afraid of. Because Tomas Tatar is an older veteran.
I love Tomas.
Belmar is an older veteran. Who else came on?
Burkowski. I mean,
Dumoulin as well. So all of those guys like have NHL experience and they know it's not about them. And I could be overstepping. I could just be like, you know, assuming too early. And I hope those little guys, those younger guys, like don't have that. And they like have some like a humble nerve in them to be a team player. But too many young guys, I feel like, or not too many young guys, but just I feel like it should just be more of a veteran role in the NHL and then slowly add new guys. And I'm just hopeful that, you know, Ron Francis knows that, and he knows that, you know, let's see what these guys have potentially. Like, hey, I'm going to put you in the spotlight, see how you do in that, and then from there we'll make a decision. So.
Yeah. I mean.
But yeah.
I'm interested to see. I'm also interested to see what this new coming up season brings us as far as players and as far whether that be the pipeline Coachella players or even, you know, other players, because going into the new season we had new players for the summer camp that they had.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be interesting.
And it'd be interesting too to see who would leave the team to fit in Shane. Ugh. Because
Shane's
a winger, he's not a center.
I don't want to see anybody leave necessarily, but
I mean maybe Belmar would leave. I think we signed a 1-year contract with Belmar.
You know, we also, as I remember, only signed a 1-year with Joey.
Yeah, but we're keeping Joey. There's no doubt that we're putting him on the market.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other players that I don't know their contracts off the top of my head. By
maybe Schwartz would leave. I don't know. Yeah, we don't know much about the contracts.
Schultz, Dumoulin, maybe Yamamoto. I don't know what his timeline is.
I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying, like yeah. But
we just signed Yamamoto. There's.
But maybe he only signed for 1 year.
But I don't see him moving.
I don't see him moving either. Performance-wise, I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
And he's a Washingtonian, so.
Yeah, why would you do that?
That's awesome to keep him in state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He probably is like.
It'd be good for the younger kids, especially the kids from Eastern Washington, Spokane area. Mm-hmm. Just all the kids who like live on that side who don't get as much publicity but know how to play hockey. And then the kids, you know, they're probably a lot better.
And I believe his girlfriend's Hawaiian.
Really?
I thought so.
Or just Asian.
I thought she was from Hawaii.
Okay.
But anyways, I just think that's cute, especially for like our background.
You should find out.
Yeah, I'll find out. Anyways, but also overall, overarching, I just want to say that Philip Grubauer played a fantastic goalie. Like he was at like pretty peak performance this game.
Yeah.
Even though, yes, he let 4 in. But again, we knew that we were playing against a high playing team, and Phillip still played at a high performing level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially because those guys practice against the best goalie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fine. Grubauer's doing great this season, or
now that he's back.
Now that he's back, Joey not so much. Unfortunately, I have no idea what's going on with him. Who knows?
Maybe it's like a pressure thing. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's losing his mojo. I don't know.
Don't say that.
What?
I am a big Joey fan, so.
I mean, players could have their ups and downs, and right now he's having his downs.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, what else went on?
Other than that, I would say, again, overall, the game was a pretty clean game. I don't think that there were no fights. It was, you know, nothing crazy happened in the game. Like I said, in that third period, there were several moments that it was very close, and it felt that we had a potential to make a goal, make it a 4-4 game. But unfortunately, our offense just couldn't, you know, follow through, and it ended up as a 3-4 loss, and the Winnipeg Jets ended up moving on to the playoff position with the Colorado Avalanches, and we will have another couple games, or just one game.
We have one game left.
One game.
So that's what's next, guys. What's next? We have one game left, and we're going against the Minnesota Wild. Do they play in Duluth?
St. Paul.
Okay. Is Duluth Wisconsin? I don't know.
Obviously, we don't know our geography, guys.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah. And I've never been to the Midwest, except for driving through the Midwest. And nor will I ever like the Midwest. Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, their next game is April 18th. And again, like you said, against the Minnesota Wild. So,
and the Minnesota Wild almost made the playoffs, and they lost, or not lost. They statistically cannot move on anymore. Not sure what happened there.
Were they like close to the wild card?
They were. They were close, as well as the St. Louis Blues. So the St. Louis Blues and the Minnesota Wild were in a race for the last wild card spot, but the Vegas Golden Knights ended up taking the last one, and yeah, they eliminated them. So good on the Vegas Golden Knights for holding on for dear life, because I don't know what was happening. I don't know what was happening with them, because they were doing so well in the beginning of the season and then kind of dropped off towards the end and they slipped through. So I don't think they're going to make a repeat.
a repeat Stanley Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I have to put my bets in for the bracket.
Yeah, I like doing the bracket too.
I love doing the bracket.
But has it opened yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so once the bracket opens,
two more days.
Yeah. Yeah. So let us know down in the comments. You could comment on this episode. You could also go to Far From Shore Pod at Far From Shore Pod on Instagram, or at Far From Shore Pod on X, formerly known as Twitter, and let us know who you think is going to win.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, if you like this video, or if you like our podcast, please, please rate and subscribe. We will have way more to happen, or way more to build upon, because we are moving to Seattle. So it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a lot of content going your way.
And don't worry, we will continue episodes up until the new season. So
yeah, we will continue more episodes in the season, so just keep listening. Please stay.
We'll get better, we promise.
yeah. So what is this, 12 episode? Mm-hmm. 12
episode 12
of the Far From Shore podcast. Of course, you all know it's all about the Seattle Kraken and the community they play in. That means every one of you listening, so potentially a lot of you guys who love the Kraken, but also do amazing work in Seattle. Let's just say you work with children, you pick up garbage in Seattle, you know, you're a tech guy, like all walks, forms of life. The criteria is you just have to like the Seattle Kraken and watch the Seattle Kraken.
Or be curious about the Seattle Kraken.
Yep, exactly.
Get interested,
exactly. So
until next time, squids, don't give up the ship.